Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful to be with you as always on this April 5th day, 2020. We're going to look at revenge. Wow. It's a big deal. It has a lot to do with pride, vanity. It has a lot to do with selfishness. It has everything to do with the state of the ego within us. And we have all, I guess, from one time to another, put ourselves in a position where we made a vengeance very, very important to us. There is nothing that has more karma to it than vengeance. And we're going to talk about it here in a moment. I want to first thank my sponsors for making all of this possible. If it were not for their kindness, their loyalty, their generous donations, I would not be sitting here talking to you. And if you have not become a sponsor and are listening to our radio program and are interested in how we offer insight and change for people, then I hope you will choose to become a sponsor and help us. We need your support always. Always need your support. We have people who come and go and die, and it's very, very important that we have sponsors to carry on the work here. So if you're interested, please go to the website at aspire.org, and there you will see sponsorship. You will see support. You click that, a drop-down menu will ensue, and it will say why support Aspire, and it will tell you all about why and all the goodies you get for being a sponsor. There are some lovely gifts that we give you each and every month, and they are, if you are, very important if you're working on yourself, if you're choosing to. And I realize in this day and age, there aren't a lot of people much interested in authentically changing themselves or authentically going to the authentic, but there are some of you out there, and we need you. I sound like Bernie Sanders, don't I? Okay, please forgive me for that one. Let's talk about revenge. It is defined as the act of inflicting hurt or harm on someone for an injury or a wrong suffered at their hands. That's a pretty good definition, you know. And I think we all have felt the need for revenge in our life, all of us, at one time or another. Now, whether or not we took action on that need to avenge ourselves is something that is really deeply important. Not a lot of people understand what they're doing when they're being vengeful, and we're going to maybe hopefully look at that. I have three wonderful questions from people all over the country. Well, let me see. Yeah, all over, but they don't want me to tell you where they live, so you won't take vengeance on them. How about that? First question comes from Fred. He says, I like revenge movies, and I like the idea of getting even with people. Does that mean I can't be spiritual, Fred? I don't know what you mean by spiritual. I'm assuming that what you're saying, and I'm assuming, which means I could be an ass here, that what you mean by being spiritual is that you you can't meditate, or you can't be religious, or you can't, be a respectful person to, or a good person. That would probably be better. I don't get into that. I just don't get into that. Who is a spiritual person? I don't even like hearing that. No person can really be spiritual, because true, authentic spirituality has nothing to do at all with the person of us. It has to do with the quality of consciousness that lives within us. And whether or not you cultivate that quality of consciousness depends on how intelligent you are about your life. So I can't go there. But let's take a look at liking vengeance movies. One of the things that I tell my students, and they constantly hear it and ignore it, I hate to say, is they don't take care of their minds. They just don't. And if a person has not taken care of their mind, not understanding, you know, what that even means, taking care of the mind, they have a very difficult time with meditation. They have a very difficult time with their whole life. Because to take care of your mind requires that you don't introduce things to it that the emotionality can ping and start using those negative proteins in the brain that start to cause a person to become, well, not only angry, but actually violent. So where we are with this, and I know a lot of men talk about this because we want to be heroes. That's our nature. Women want to be mothers and men want to be heroes. And I'm just simplifying things, but it runs very strong in us as an instinct to protect our women so we can have children that help us on the farm, as it were, on the Ponderosa. So it just, if you look at it from the point of view of the meaning of life and everything, vengeance plays a big role in protecting, we think. So you like vengeance movies, that kind of strikes you, turns you on, kicks in the proteins in the brain that kick in the serotonins and all of the synapses firing off in a certain way to make you feel powerful, make you feel right. And when we live, and I'm just going to say this about, you know, myself, when we live a life that is pathetic in the pedestrian mentality that I possess and everyone possesses in some way or another, we start to think and say and do things that are not relative to insight, not relative to the goodness of the heart. We just don't really get it. So we start to think in terms of right and wrong, good and bad, up and down. We start to think in terms of, you know, how we live our life and if it is going to be a life worth living, standing up for the things that are most important and are essential to whatever the cause may be, and thinking that we are warriors of righteousness kind of people. And, of course, the more we do this kind of thing, the more appealing it becomes, and this is a very sick and demented way of using my mind. And it causes my mind to go into other avenues. Vengeance is a result of pride, and pride is a result of selfishness, and selfishness is a result of low self-esteem or not feeling like we can cope with our life and deal with our daily living. So these are the begats of each and every one of us. And as we entertain these begats and start to submerge our life into these things, never taking care of our mind and thinking that every emotion that we have, whatever emotion we have the right or with some kind of privilege or it's some kind of obligation that we have to take action on these emotions and think that these emotions are the most important. We want to inflict harm on someone who has done us what we think of as wrong. And in living in this manner, we do a great deal of destruction, Fred, to our own mind. That means that we start drawing to ourselves deeper and deeper problems. Problems that are emotional. We get into conflicts that are unnecessary. We get into difficulties that become catastrophic eventually. And before you know it, on and on and on we go with our vengeance, trying to use that as a way to fortify our pride and our vanity. And this doesn't change a thing. So what is the antidote? It is not to indulge yourself, of course, in these movies, not to you will have to explore the way you think and your self-observation of the state of your genetic emotionality. You'll have to do a lot of inner work. This is why inner work is very important. I often look at people and I think, what would drive you to love? When I meet a stranger, I'll tell you something secret about me. When I meet a stranger, I think in terms of this, what would drive you to love? Really, what would authentic love? And what would drive you to vengeance or hatred? What kind of person are you? How far do you go with the state of your own life? How do you deal with that? And to my friends and colleagues who I talk to, I look at them after all the years that they've been doing whatever they're doing, and I ask myself the question, what would drive you to love? Have you achieved love? Has your life pushed you into the state of love? Or has it been nothing but vengefulness and hatred and regret and all sorts of ugly things? Because vengeance always puts us into regret later on. We won't know what we're regretting, but we sit there and we do a lot of terrible things, not just to others, but to ourselves. Every time I do something that inflicts harm or pain on someone for maybe thinking that I am evening the score, I have definitely hurt myself. I have hindered my meditation and the practice of it. And that's why a lot of people can't meditate, because they don't care. The gratification of thinking that I've avenged myself for a wrong certainly isn't going to change anything. Not a thing. There's a lot of pretty faces out there in this world who you don't want to get involved with, because basically they enjoy this vengeance and pride thing. Not a healthy thing. Just something for you to think about. Anyway, thank you, Fred, for your question. I hope I helped you in some way. It's a tough question without you sitting here and talking to me, but I hope it helped. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'm going to need a lot of forgiveness at the end of this one. The next one is from, what is this? Ty. Don't know where he lives. I think it is important to get even with people, to teach them a lesson, and to draw a line around yourself to protect yourself. That's what it's all about, being equal to others. Ty, no one is created equal. Please, I want to get that right off the bat here. None of us are created equal to each other. And that doesn't mean there's greater and lesser people. Our equality doesn't lie in our abilities, because there's always going to be greater and lesser in that category. But what I'm talking about is we all come here because we're made to come here. This is what we're about. We had to come to an earthly experience like this because this is what we're made of. We're made of vengeance and pride and vanity and hatred and always willing to fight for any silly thing. It doesn't matter what it is. And this is why we're here. This is the ilk of us. You're here because you have no soul. I'm here because I had no soul. And people who develop souls within this life and attain to the soul, to the heart of life and the soul, have a very unique experience in this lifetime. They see life from a different point of view. Now, everybody assumes they just have a soul. So, well, that's stupid. I already have a soul. And there you are. There's vengeance. There's pride. There's vanity. How do you know? I thought I knew when I was younger. But then it started to come to me everything started to ripen as I practiced more and more detaching from my ideas of what I have and thinking I know to that of really knowing. And that changes everything. That changes a whole life experience. So you say, you think it is important to get even with people, to teach them a lesson. I don't think you teach people lessons by being vengeful. You teach people maybe how strong you are, how willful you might be. You might teach them that you don't take any crap from anyone. And I guess that's what you're after, is don't mess with me. And I just can't go there with you on that. I'm sorry. I can't do that. That is not something that, you know, works upon the practice of an authentic spiritual life. It just doesn't. Jesus talked a great deal in his life about forgiveness. He talked a great deal about it. Love ye one another as I have loved you. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. He did not seek revenge. And yet, we go to church, or people go to church. I don't anymore. I used to do it when I was teaching, but it's a very petty and useless experience. People go to church to learn about, supposedly, if you're a Christian, Jesus. But when you really hear his message and you understand or are taught to understand what he meant, there's no positive end to it. Because you suddenly realize as you're sitting there in your little chair or your whatever, your bench, you look at what is being said and how Jesus is teaching, and you realize you're not going to do any of that. That is not in your makeup. That is not in your pedestrian mentality, your mental acuity, your ilk. You're not going to do it. You're not going to forgive those who have despitefully used you, as Jesus said. You're not going to do it. And not only that, but the question really is, do you have the capacity to do it? And most people have lost their capacity for forgiveness. And this is, again, one of those things that I teach my students about taking care of their mind. They don't want to forgive. And if they do, they find that the demands of their emotionality upon their brain, their thinking, their mind, is far more overwhelming and makes their effort to forgive insincere, incomplete, can't be done. And they don't understand, well, I don't get it. How come I can't forgive? Some of them will, you know, I'll give them a discourse, and or we have a really powerful session, you know, in my counseling, and they will leave. By the time they get to the car, they've forgotten everything I've said, and they've forgotten everything we worked on, everything. Why? Because pride and vengeance and fear and anger are more important to these people than anything else. More important than anything. They live for these kinds of things. And they have trained their mind to be defensive. And in childhood, if you were fighting for your life, as it were, fighting for your freedom, fighting for, you know, your place in the family, and a lot of people were, you know, they were, then it's going to be very, very, very difficult for that person to think that the world is not out to get them and that there is going to be great difficulties in life. And there always are, because we draw those difficulties to us. You don't teach people lessons through avenging yourself, Ty. You only show them maybe, you know, don't mess with me. Maybe that's it. I don't know. But you fuel their anger towards someone else. You fuel their anger towards themselves. Always look at yourself this way. Am I giving this person the correct impression of love for themselves? Love for another person. That is true forgiveness. Do I project to them a true vision, as it were, of how they can love themselves. Don't think about loving the person. Think about entering into all of their lifetimes, all of their living. Do I give them the chance to understand they are love? That's the real key. And if you do, you've done great good for them. You've given them virtue. And if you don't, if you only, condemn them for being ignorant about their pride, their vanity, and their need for revenge and fighting, then you're no better than they are. And you really, really want to help people. You help people moment to moment to moment to moment. That's how it's done. Every moment of your life, serving them, helping them. By the way you talk, the way you touch, and the way you live. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question. This is from Susan, who doesn't tell me where she lives. People are no good, Greg. Look at the world. I think it's very important to fight and get even with those who have harmed us. I know this is not the Christian thing to think, but it's how I feel. Susan. I can't, it'd be impossible to reason with you, be impossible to help you. This is a trait of your DNA. Your DNA that, as a woman, you feel you need protecting, that you're entitled to being protected, that you're the stick gatherer, the children maker, and all that other stuff, and that's as far as it goes. This is very pedestrian. And there is nothing I could say to you, Susan, that would change you. And that would be true with almost everybody, but don't feel bad. The whole thing is, I'm going to just say, generally speaking, people, they're ignorant. They just don't, and they're indifferent to what they're ignorant to. And they don't care that they're ignorant. And there is nothing in this world I can do about that. Sometimes I try to help, and I find that it always backfires, and it never really helps because people are set in their ways. And if you're set in your way, which you sound like you are, you're not going to do this very well. You're not going to do this inner work very well. In fact, you won't do inner work because you won't think you have to. You will think, obviously, that you need to protect yourself against the bad people, which are most of us in this world. Everybody has the capacity for great evil, and everybody has the capacity for great goodness. How you want to live within yourself is in the same way. Am I going to live in the goodness of my heart, my authentic heart, or am I going to live and perpetrate great evil in my life through my human heart? You have to decide. I can't make that decision for you. But whatever you may be thinking and however you may be thinking, that is going to come back to you in the form of consequences and circumstances. And if I were you, if I were you, I wouldn't allow my life to slip down into that. Forgive those who have despitefully used you. We've all been despitefully used, and we all need forgiveness. Every one of us. So the little object of the game here, give what you need. If you need forgiveness, which you do, then give forgiveness. If the patience factor is needed for you, then give patience to another person. And always remember, they know not what they do. Really, they don't. I hope that helps you, and please forgive me. Namaste. Well, there we are, another week. If you have a comment or a question, I would love to hear from you. Just email me at greg@aspire.org. I'd love to hear from you. I really would. So write me any kind of question on your mind. That's what the program's about. Have a wonderful weekend. I'll talk to you soon. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.